caught none of my singing either, which is pretty funny. I was singing, people. I was singing season 5, episode 5. So this is a magical episode for us because of the fives, right? Season 5, episode 5, I got
make a wish.
I got God shining in here on my shoulder.
Like it. Mine is just an art light.
That's yours is artificial. Yours is artificial. It sure looks real though.
Yeah, I know, eh? Look, I could do the dog. I can't do it. Whatever the dog shadows. I'll put that's that funny. Back that way. That's better, yeah. Who needs ambiance? Although I did appreciate your singing intro. That was nice.
Hey, I'm
so glad we had this time together.
I was going to say, it feels like I haven't spoken to you in a long time. And it's true because we didn't have the podcast last weekend.
It was our 1 week hiatus.
We get those sometimes.
That's true. It's a tricky word to say.
Hiatus?
Yeah. But I think pod hiatuses are important. I do. I see other pod people that are still able to maintain a schedule. I know the rigor, folks. I see out there. I know the rigor. I know the grind. Been there, done that. Hey, even made a sticker. Didn't make a t-shirt. Didn't get a t-shirt. You made a t-shirt. There is a decoded podcast t-shirt out there. It was a limited edition. I believe there were only 2 made. Probably you made one for yourself too.
I can't even find it.
Jake wears it. My son wears it to school. Yeah, he's loving these oversized t-shirts. And also he frequently tells me, "Daddy, it's so soft." So whatever synthetic material you made it had it made out of, it is a you give my son a lot of happiness because he'll just kind of walk. He's like, "It's so soft. It's so soft, Dad. It's so soft." And then he'll like feel my shoulder. And then other people, like Karen the other day, she's like smiling. The other day, I mean, sometime in the last 2 months, he walks in. He's like, "It's so soft." And she kind of looks. I'm like, "Feel it." She's like, "Oh my gosh, it is so soft. It's a very soft t-shirt." So, yes, just mentioning other people, other pod people, and new pod people jumping into the pod world. You know, being able to put up an episode and not just let's say an episode, but a produced episode, right? So there's a structure, there's a form, there's music, bumpers, maybe some advertisement brought to you by whatever.
Brought to you by Big Eddie.
Big Eddie. There's breaks, there's ducks, there's all these things that have all these elements of sound engineering and production, as well as, you know, you're also the writer, editor, interviewer,
scheduler.
Yeah. The scheduler, the front lobby, pump up greeter. Person, welcome the greeter. Yeah.
Brand marketer.
You're doing your own social media. I see you. But I'll tell you, it's nice to be able to see yourself in the process too, and kind of pause and slow things down and say, you know what, a 1 week hiatus, see, I told you it's hard to say, is important to get away. Taking a break from the world today takes everything you got. Hey, today could be our musical episode. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Come on, Chids, jump in. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. What is that from? Is that from Cheers?
Cheers.
Cheers, buddy. Cheers. Cheers to hiatuses.
Okay, I'm going to kind of throw some shade on your hiatus thing.
Throw some shade on my hiatus.
Because you're not, I don't think like you're not being true to the Decoded Podcast brand that we sell ourselves as two individuals who happen to be fathers and teachers, which means that as the father part, we have life outside of podcasting. So last week I had to do dad stuff.
Yep.
And that's why there was a hiatus. I feel like you're twisting it to make it sound like we just needed a break. But in fact,
teachable moment, baby, teachable moment.
I don't think we needed a break. I just think one of us wasn't available.
But see, okay. And this conversation right now is
being brought to you. I'm just having fun with it.
Yeah, it's being brought to you by You Can't Touch My Hiatus Bed and Breakfast that we're sort of releasing under the Dakota brand as well. You Can't Touch My Hiatus. And Bed and Breakfasts, Wouldn't You Like to Get Away? Sometimes You Gotta Go.
Where everybody knows your name.
Where nobody should know your name. I don't think I'll get into copyright infringement there. But yeah, Don't Touch My Hiatus. Nobody's
even watching this. Don't Touch My Hiatus is pretty awesome.
Don't Touch My Hiatus.
You can get a Don't Touch My Hiatus gift certificate, right?
You could.
The Smell My Beard products in the
in our Don't Touch My Hiatus. See, the word becomes more and more fun. Don't Touch My Hiatus. And I do agree there was, but see, this is what I'm comment. I think when you notice your life and you sort of center into what your life is, then how can you not be, happy to be confronted with dad stuff and fatherhood stuff and husband stuff and just, you know, self stuff. And I think when I say, I see you pod people out there, because there's got to be once or twice when you put all that stuff on hold just to push out that episode. Mm-hmm. I did. I'll speak for myself. I did. You know, I would before I had the noise. What is it called? Noise reduction? No.
Noise canceling.
Now he's before I had noise canceling headphones. I could hear upstairs someone saying, "Where's your dad?" I'm down here editing and right.
Where's your dad? I love
it. Where's your dad? So, us taking a week off is not a big picture issue. It's a making sure that big picture is beautiful and full and connected. And you've said it. You coined it as well that it's more than a podcast. We've found a place to sort of be more than a podcast because we're the actual number of hours that we're talking about, let's say EDU and our experiences right now with this year, both being in new portfolios, we're dropping combos back and forth all week. So the fact that it doesn't actually make it to a podcast is okay by me.
Full disclosure regarding T-shirt, it was my wife who purchased the shirt and made the shirt. It wasn't me. Did you always think it was me?
I don't think I knew what I didn't know. I just assumed that you might have even said, "Well, thanks. Thank you."
Yeah, no problem.
No, you don't get to say you're welcome. I'm just saying in the jet, you know, of course I'm sure your spouse, like my spouse, listens to all our episodes.
You know what's funny about that is one day somebody had mentioned to my wife. Or to my sister-in-law who told my wife that they listen to the Decoded podcast and they hear about my wife and it's so funny. And my wife said to me, "What are you saying on there about me?" And I'm like, "I've mentioned maybe your name half a dozen times and I tell stories, but like nothing, you know." I said, whatever idea you have about me talking about you is not what it is. It's not. And she's like, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, I'm doing one of these. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You can ask Clef. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, so full disclosure, my wife bought I told my wife I want to make Decoded shirts. And hey, get R2 to stay quiet over there, okay? Anyway.
You know what that is? You know, no.
That's your wife talking to you.
It is, sending me the message. It's the R2-D2 message notification. And you know what it is? It's the thumbs up for me.
The green light.
I got the green light. Green light, folks. Won't even tell you what the green light's for, but I got the green light.
Maybe before the end, you can, if you want, you can share the green light because I got a green light for me today too.
Hey, you know what? Hey, maybe our thousands of listeners, that's what they could actually say. So we'll have a little bit of fun on the YouTube page today. Tell us what you think I just got the green light for.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Making the whole podcast interactive today.
With nobody here. I love it. Interactive podcast, but we don't have anybody participate.
Yeah, it's like you put up the Kahoot and no kid signs in. That's what it is.
I told my wife I want a Decoded podcast shirt for Chris and I. She's like, okay. She bought the shirt. I think like she was ordering a bunch of shirts. So she made, you know, what color do you want? Yada, yada,
yeah, for
yada.
Sure.
Then she printed off the Decoded stuff on her Cricut. And then I may have actually ironed it on. Mm. But that's it. Like the rest was her. So full credit there. Can I be Aldo B for a minute and tell a story?
Yeah, to it.
Someone's going to have to let Aldo know that. So Aldo's this great dude. Does he teach in your board?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so, yeah.
He's an intermediate teacher this year, I think, and he's been part of the book club for men since it started, I believe. And anyway, we joke around with Aldo because he tells awesome stories. So mm-hmm. I'm about to have some of Aldo flow through me in my storytelling this morning. Yesterday, I'm at one of the high schools where one of my students is at. Oh, another green light.
We're all good. Two green lights.
That is epic. Okay. Somebody write this down in the history books. So I'm at a high school and I'm going to drop a name, Jordan Figueredo, the vice principal of this high school, who was also part of the book club for men. We've connected. I would call us friends. I hope I'm not overstepping, Jordan. I'm going to call us friends. So Jordan's the VP there. And every time I'm there, I try on my way in or out, I try to find Jordan to just say what's going on because he fills my cup. Right? Like we talk and I feel better after I talk to Jordan. So I'm literally not running in the hallway, but I'm like moving pretty quick because I need to be somewhere. And I see him and he's moving pretty quick too. And I'm like, dude, what's going on? He's like, nothing much. He's like, say hi later. I'm like, I will. I got to go. He's like, I got to go. I said, I could use a pair of wings here to fly around. Right? He laughs. We laugh. We go. I'm walking the halls with my student and I see these beautiful wings painted on the wall.
And I saw the pic.
I'm like, I got to get a pic. So I say to my student, I'm like, would you mind taking the picture? And she's laughing because she's like, of course I'll take the pic. Like I was like a kid in a candy store, right? I'm like, hey, I got to get a picture with the wings. She's like, yeah, no problem. So she takes the picture and then she says to me, wow, you're the perfect height. Usually people in front of these wings are either crouching or on their tippy toes. And I'm like, are you making fun of my height? And so there she goes off, right? She's like dying laughing. And I'm like, I can't believe you just made fun of my height. Now, she's laughing so hard that a teacher comes out of a classroom and looks at us like, guys, I'm like, whoa, I'm the teacher here. And I'm
you didn't get the shh.
No, because I think all I'm making an inference here. The teacher saw me and was like, oh, we have a responsible adult with a student. So
I'm not
going to shush you because you're not the kids causing difficulty. So
teacher, it was a little side eye. It was a little teacher side eye. Just kind of like,
but it turns out I know the teacher. The teacher looks at me.
Yeah.
The teacher comes out, I think, to scold us, but ends up being like, Roland? I'm like, nice. Yeah, man, how's it going? We took a course back in the day. He's like, yeah, awesome. And he looks at the kid and he's like, what's your name? And she tells him, and I'm like, she's giving me a tour of the building. So it's all legit. And I look at her, and I'm like, I guess we need to be quiet. Like I'm forgetting that there's like people learning in this building.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so then we continued the tour and I hope nobody uses this against me, but one of my strategies with these students in high school is to politely ask them to give me a tour of the building.
Great idea.
I'm not familiar with the building. And spoiler alert, it's a great opportunity to walk and talk about all kinds of issues while I'm getting this tour of the building, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been toured of these buildings many times and I know them well now, but I don't play that, right? I'm like, I'm on a tour. Mm-hmm. And at this high school, my wife went to this high school. So my wife has said to me every time I go to the school, she's like, did you see my picture on the graduation wall? I'm like, no, I didn't get there. So one of the things yesterday was with the tour, we need to find the wall of graduation photos. I got to find a picture of my wife and send it to her. So it's like, I'm getting this shtick at each school. I'm learning how to, I don't know, walk and talk with people so I can do my job and I can help them do theirs. And it's kind of funny. And I can't wait. I can't wait until the day that one of the students says to me, I've seen you on like 50 of these tours. Why am I taking you on another one? I'm waiting. I don't know what to do, but I'm waiting. Anyway, that's
you just wait to say I haven't been on your tour.
I could, but I'm not, you know, whatever. It's Roland. Stephen Hurley has graced us with his presence, maybe checking us out because of what we did to him 2 weeks ago. And spoiler alert, I did tweet out this morning that we were on this morning and that we were going to try not to cause Hurley any harm, but that I never really know.
Not there was harm. We were playful last week.
2 weeks ago.
It was, oh, right. Don't touch my hiatus. But I did. I did have a sudden when that popped up there. That was funny. You know, you put that up on the screen. I had a little bit of like a moment like this. See if I can sort of mimic this a little bit. You ready? I gotta take out the headphones. This is the feeling I had.
Okay, Chris is showing us the feeling he had. Oh.
You know, it was the teacher sticking their head out of the classroom, just making sure that the fun is legit. That's when you.
Look at this, see, Hurley. Do you not know what's happened here?
Hurley.
Two weeks ago, Chris and I believe.
I think it might have been the episode before that where we were really? Just. Yeah, I think we were really. There was a level of. I think there was a level of comedy. And we invoked the Hurley, and then I don't know. I think I said, I hope it's not giving Hurley a headache, just us being so ridiculous and silly. That's all. So yeah. But okay, well, here's the thing though. Every single one they're putting up right now, like I thought he was a faithful follower. Gotta be honest. I think revealing a real deficit in his Saturday morning routine.
He was absent. He says he thinks he may have absent. We're not going to call the truancy officer on you yet.
No, but right. This is like, you know, the Zoom profile's up on the screen, but the person's doing dishes or grocery shopping or.
Why are you not adding flavor to the story?
Okay.
Dude, you're not. No flavor, bro. Come on.
Season it.
Okay. Well, I'll probably end up eating the turkey, but anyway. And speaking of turkey, where's Ramona? Is she so exhausted from all the turkeys that she's not coming today? But anyway, okay.
And really, you know, the purpose of podcasting, like it's kind of like it's is there a noise if that tree falls? So is there a podcast if no one's listening?
Okay,
there's one thing I've learned from podcasting.
We were causing
is to never ask that question.
We were causing so much hijinks 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
You don't use that word lightly. I did. It did get a guffaw out of you, though.
We were up to no good. And Chris said, in all his wisdom, Chris said, oh, my God, Hurley must be feeling the pain because of the negativity or the. The nonsense in the podcasting force is so strong that Hurley must be feeling the weight of that ripple. And I tweeted you, Hurley. I hit you up in a tweet. I think I asked if you were okay because of the ripples in the podcasting force.
Yep.
And I didn't hear from you, so you must have been busy doing something. But
well, it is in some ways, you know, part of his nom de plume is as chief catalyst, and you and I would not be catalyzing unless we had been catalyzed by him.
I'm sorry, but that just went like over my head.
Well, dude, we wouldn't necessarily have met if it wasn't for Hurley.
True. I got you. So he brought us to the force. He noticed that there was something in us.
He catalyzed us. We were catalyzed.
Listen, don't touch my hiatus and don't you dare catalyze me.
Yeah.
But, Hurley, the Yoda of podcasting, he noticed in us something strong. And unfortunately, the two of us ended up on the dark side And so Hurley, it's even nice that he entertains us by coming and talking to us. He's dropped the podcaster label in his own profile. Oh, catalyzed or cauterized. So for that's anybody good. Who's listening, to all our listeners, the people who don't watch the YouTube feed, you have no idea what's going on here. You need to get to the YouTube feed to see what's being posted.
Yep.
It's too hard to explain what I'm putting on the screen, taking off the screen. But anyway, we hope you're okay since then, Hurley. We hope that the ripples in the force, whether from the dark side or the light side, has not caused you too many issues. Can I talk about my green light today?
Do it.
My green light is I'm going to make a rum cake.
Cool.
I know. And you're probably like, what, where, how? So when I go to bed at night, I like to watch.
That was an unlikely starting point for a rum cake story. You had me at rum cake. And it's, here's what it triggered in me. I actually do go to bed thinking about my first coffee the next day.
Okay.
So we may be genred in the same kind of like thinking here. I do go to bed thinking about, like, often one of my last thoughts is I'm really looking forward to getting through sleep so I can get to my first coffee. So there we go. Sorry. Rum cake, going to bed thinking.
I don't even know now if I should give it away or if I should just like move in a different direction.
Give it away now.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, baby. Can I say that on YouTube? Dude. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
What are they?
I don't know what they're going to do. Everybody's listening.
Let's push those envelopes.
Okay.
Yeah, let's push those envelopes.
When I go to bed at night, I like to watch a little bit of YouTube. Like it calms me and whatever. There's some channels I like to go to and visit in the 20 minutes before I go to sleep type of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, dude, I stumbled upon this one guy's site, his channel where he cooks mostly like, you know, soul food and stuff, but he's got a section for dessert. So I thought I'd check it out. And he made this rum cake and I just fell in love. And from that moment, I remember looking over at my wife and I'm like, I'm watching this video on this rum cake and I'm going to make this rum cake this weekend. So she, it's funny. Her response is, do we even have rum? Because we're not big drinkers. So I'm like, I don't know. She's like, well, we have to have, it's hilarious. Then the conversation, we have like a 2 minute conversation. She goes, okay. Like this is my quiet time now. Can you stop talking to me type of thing? There's another full disclosure that somebody's going to tell my wife in 3 years, Roland was talking about you in bed on the Decoded podcast, and I'm going to get smoked because apparently I'm talking about my wife on the Decoded podcast. But anyway,
that could be our safe word. I like that as a safe word. Rum cake.
Rum cake.
If we go too far talking about our families, if we get too real, rum cake's the official safe word of the
Decoded podcast. Really,
a product in development. Product in development.
So I'm going to attempt to make the rum cake today. That's my green light.
It's good. You got the green light on the rum cake. Yeah, I would say that happens sometimes too in my household. I get an idea and I haven't really thought it through to, you know, I'm still at the kind of in the imagining stage, the empathizing stage, and empathizing goes right to like figuring out the family need. It goes right to logistics and shopping where Karen will often say, well, if we're going to do it, we have to get this. Like we tend to do that to each other. Okay. Well, if this is your idea, it's not a no, but if this is your idea, here's what we got to do it. We jump right over any of the sort of like the gap analysis. We leap over that gap and say, okay, we better get a good rum because I'm not drinking crap rum. Oh, and if we're going to do that, we got to make sure we get the good flour. And then you get in this sort of zone of all the right ways to do it. And you still haven't even done the thing yet. So
I get you 100%. In fact, there's a couple of things I need to make.
Rum cake. I was just seeing if that would stop our conversation.
It did stop. I was like, what did I say that I shouldn't have said?
Good. Okay.
This morning when I was getting the butter ready for the rum cake, getting it out to warm it up, I'm like, okay, we're going to need more butter because I'm using it. And we need pastrami because for some strange reason, I've been craving a really good pastrami sandwich lately. And
that was a big leap, bro. I was about to say, you just knocked me head first off the rum cake carriage if you're putting pastrami in it. But you shifted to a different recipe.
As I'm getting my tea ready for this morning, I'm getting the butter out. And as I'm cutting up the butter, I'm like, I got to text my wife about more butter. And while I'm texting her, I might as well tell her I want pastrami. Because here's another thing. I've gone down this path. The grilled cheese sandwich path and throwing anything and everything into that sandwich has become my thing. So when my kids say, hey, can I have a grilled cheese sandwich? I'm like, can I play with it? They're like, yeah. So the other morning I made this wicked, oh, you know what else I'm doing with the grilled cheese sandwich? When it's almost done, I pick up the bread and I toss a bunch of shredded cheese in the pan and then drop the bread back in it so that there's this nice cheesy crust on the outside of both sides of the bread. And so I want to make a grilled cheese sandwich with a ton of pastrami. This is what I want. Cheese, pastrami, green olives, pickles, Frank's Red Hot Sauce. I think that's it. And more cheese. And then just solidify that thing with a nice crust. Mm. Did I go too far?
No, I did not invoke the safe word. I will mention to you, though, if you one hack, shift, pivot, adjacent to, but might make you happy, use mayonnaise on the outside instead of butter.
This I discovered just the other day from the rum cake guy who also makes these things on his Blackstone. Tell me why. Why?
Well, you're looking for a fat. Yes. That's all it is. You need a fat on the outside of the bread. The taste, the flavor profile of a like an emulsified fat is different depending on what you have. So butter gives you one flavor profile and mayonnaise would give you a different flavor profile. I'd just try it and see if you like it. Go easy on it. I would say from my experience that so fats have something called a smoke level, which basically means what's the point that not good tasting flavor is going to start to develop potentially with that fat. So butter has a lower smoke level. So it basically means it'll start to burn faster than other things. So more pure fats have higher smoke levels. So that's why, for example, you don't make French fries in butter. Because the temperature that you would need, and I guess you could go ahead, try, tell me how it turns out. But the, you know, melted butter isn't typically used for frying things. If you wanted to use butter, most times you might use clarified butter. So you're pulling out some of the proteins, getting to a pure fat. The more pure the fat, the higher the temp. The higher the temp, the more sort of think of it, that's your crispy factor. So you will have a different crispy smoke factor using mayonnaise, and there's other seasonings that come along with that, right? So depending on the quality of mayonnaise that you use. I would say that if you are going to do mayonnaise, use a full fat mayonnaise. Try starting with that. And if you don't want to invest in that, like getting that much, the next time you're staying somewhere, just grab some of the little mayonnaise packs. Or when you're grabbing a sandwich somewhere, I don't know, Subway, say, can I have a little spare mayonnaise pack on the side? And you can try it yourself so you don't have to invest. Shopping hack. There we go.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that with me. I did see that, the mayonnaise thing, but he didn't explain why. So I'm good to go. I'm good to go there. Yeah, man, I tell you, I can't wait for that rum cake today. There's something about it that just it caught my eye. And yeah, the grilled cheese. So I need some pastrami. So I'm texting my wife. And probably when I'm working on the cake today, I'll probably end up thinking of other things I'd like in the grocery cart. So I'll just text her. She'll add it.
It's good. Yeah. It's good stuff. When the weather turns cool, I start thinking about stuff like that too. I'm not really a big kind of grilled sandwich person in hot temperatures. It's kind of more the soup. The soup comes along with that. So I think about a sandwich that you're making. I think of what soup would I like with it. Oh. And I'm also,
are we going there?
No. Okay. I'm going to pivot. I'm jumping off that topic quick, just to another space. We used to have a sandwich grill. We had it for the longest time. Karen got it for me for some birthday, sometime. We had it for, and it was amazing. It was amazing. So it's, you know, a top and bottom sandwich grill, like a panini press. Do you have one?
I believe we do, but I don't use it. I don't want to use it.
Do it.
No, do I it. Don't want to. I you like the pan, bro.
No, get this. The one that we had, and this is what made it worthwhile, came with both the grills, but you could pop those out, and there were flat tops as well. So what that means is you get what you're looking for, and you get all the color that you're looking for, and you actually get better temperature adjustment because it's meant to be like that. You know, you can get your temperature right. And you can use it for other things too. The one that I had actually would fold out into like wide, so you could actually fry an egg on it or do your bacon on it. We would do burgers in it too, which was really handy. And because there was a drain sort of thing on it, it wouldn't sit in its own fat and smoke up the house, which was kind of cool.
I believe we have one of those. We also had a George Foreman grill around the same idea, but not the same functionality as the panini press.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I just gained 10 pounds.
There we go. It's all virtual, though.
Hey, I have a virtual weight. I got a quick question for you about food.
Okay.
Because I'm doing this rum cake with this one guy, last night I ended up watching another rum cake video from another guy. Now, the second guy, he was using, what's the sour milk? What's it called? There's a milk that is used in baking, but it's not milk that you drink.
What, goat's milk?
No, it's like, I can't remember what he called it. Anyway, forget about it.
Well, my
thing was, can I substitute it with if I don't have any of it?
Well, it's better for you to understand. So what, buttermilk?
Yes, buttermilk.
Yeah.
It's sour, right?
Well, there's a purpose to it though. Like
I know, but that's the problem.
Is it so what was the person making?
It was to even something out within the cake
batter. Oh. So you're talking about chemical reaction. So leaveners, so things that add, imagine leaveners are the chemicals or components that can make something lighter and more airy. Mm-hmm. So the basic principle is you can do this chemically, you can do this with yeast as well. And as your batter or your dough forms or cooks, the thing that's creating gas allows it to sort of expand within whatever you're making. So it'd sort of make your cake rise or make your bread rise. And then as the actual proteins or cells and whatever you're cooking go above a certain temperature, you imagine those, they go from sort of like paste to firm spaces. So the air lifts it, and then the chemical reaction can stop, or the heat kills the yeast, and whatever shape it's expanded into, it stays there. So leaveners, more often, kind of when you talk about leaveners, you're talking about using, you know, baking soda or baking powder. But in order for those chemical leaveners to work, you need to have the base and the acid. So think of putting the Mentos inside of a Coke bottle. Mm. So the Coke is the acid and the Mentos is the base that bubbles up, right? You can put the cap on the bottle and you can see the bottle expands. So buttermilk is very acidic. So using buttermilk is what activates the leavener.
Gotcha.
Now, for some people, it's flavoring too. They like that flavor. It can add a little bit of sour flavoring into things as well. It can be a tenderizer as well for some things. Make some dishes a little bit more tender because the acidity in there. Acid can do that to proteins. It can soften them up a little bit. It'll toughen them up as well if you go too far. You can make buttermilk just with regular milk. And I think some people sometimes will put yogurt in that and just let it sit on the... Like you don't want it to get to curdling stage, but you want it to get a little bit of sour flavor. And I'm sure you can find a recipe of taking milk and adding a little bit of vinegar to it as well.
Thank you very much.
There you go, bro. Yep.
When you said when you said tenderize, it reminded me of steak, which reminded me that tonight my wife and I are going out to celebrate our wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Very cool. So this is a thing? This is the anniversary is a steak night? Or that just happens to be what's on the menu?
Well, we're going to like a steakhouse, so I guess. Cool.
I just meant as like a repeat thing. Like I know for some people they have their place they go to for their anniversary. They have their meal that's the go-to meal on their anniversary.
We do have a place, but the idea of going out did not come to us early enough for me to book a spot at our regular place. So we're going to a substitute place and you know, usually we'll have steak or something, like something that we're not making here often. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so thanks for the reminder.
Good. Yeah, you're
welcome. So I got rum cake, I got some dad duties, and then I'm going out tonight with my wife, which is kind of nice.
Nice.
Hey, can I share with you, can I share? We don't have a lot of time, but did I tell you about the icy adventures?
No.
You know what a slush puppy is?
I do. Summer I doubled down. My family was, when we were in Quebec City.
Yeah.
It was super hot. My family found this little old Quebec City, this old ice cream shop. I walked by this like depanneur, like a corner shop. Mm-hmm. And I saw the slush puppy there. I'm like, I'm so getting one. I go and I get one. They get their ice cream. They're halfway through their ice cream. I finish it. I go back for a second. And because it's an old Quebec City, yeah, I think the first one I had was the second one was lemonade, like country style lemonade. The first one was orange, like an orange sherbet flavor. Dude, it was glorious. And when it was like 40 degrees, it was like a couple of those days of summer that were, and I'm sucking this, and I'm just like blowing like cool steam out of my mouth. Their ice cream's melting all over their hands. I'm just like, and I went and got another one. I think it was like $7 for it. It was really expensive.
I
spent $14 on two slush puppies, but glorious. Go.
So my wife, she doesn't like slush puppies. She likes icies.
Is that the penguin?
I don't think it's a penguin. I don't know what it is, but an icy is like a slush puppy, but I believe it's carbonated. This is the main difference, but I could be wrong. Now people are going to tell my wife he was talking about you again. He doesn't listen to you because he can't even tell the story right. But anyway, don't touch my hiatus. I'm in the middle of something right now. So my wife loves the icy, and it's hard to find. It really
is. You're right. It is a frozen carbonated beverage. Okay. I just looked it up. Yep.
It's hard to find. They're not as readily available as slush puppies. And I know that one of the places where we would always get one, or she'd always get one, is at the Kitchener Rib Fest. There was always an icy machine there. But we haven't been to the Rib Fest because of COVID. So she discovered, we belong to some Facebook food groups. She discovered there's some people like her who really appreciate the icy. And every time they find a location, they post it like, hey, there's an icy machine at this gas station in this city or whatever. So we live in Waterloo, and there's a town called Fergus, which is about 30 to 40 minutes away. And someone posted that there's an icy machine inside this gas station in Fergus. And so she kind of put it on the back burner. And then one day, I think of late summer, maybe? No. Right before, it may have been Labor Day weekend, she's like, okay, it's solidified. I know where this place is. Let's go. And the family hopped in the car. It was a Saturday. We hopped in the car. We drove to Fergus. We found this gas station. And it's not like, it's not a Ma and Pa gas station. It's one of the big names. It's got an A&W connected to it. And the gas station inside is like, it's got a ton of like junk food and treats that you don't normally see at other places. Mm-hmm. So we get our ices, we get in the car, we go home, and we're like, that was awesome. 2 weeks ago, we were all sitting around. We didn't have anything to do. And I said, hey, let's go get an icy. And she's like, let's do it. So we got in the car, we drove to Fergus, and I don't even know why I'm sharing that. I know why I'm sharing it. It's one of those dad things where I was like, it's fall. There are beautiful colors everywhere. Let's get in the car and drive down these awesome country roads. Look at the sights, build some more family adventure time, and grab an icy. We can do all those things in a span of, you know, an hour and a half. Let's do it. And the family was like, yeah, let's do it. So that's the icy adventure that I wanted to share.
So just the icy company, America's original frozen treat. Okay.
Wow.
Also, this company owns Slush Puppy.
Oh,
there we go. Juice 100, Parrot Ice, Nitro Frozen Coffee, Handcrafted Chill, and Frozen Cocktails. They are diversified, all in the sort of slushy drink. They have the slushy drink market cornered, I think. Yeah, so Icy is actually the parent company for Slush Puppy. That explains it, eh?
That's awesome.
That explains it. Hey, I'll show you.
Yeah, show me, because on that note, this episode's over. Oh, can you go down a little bit? Hey, it's a Big Eddie Says Boo. Good one, Clough. Good one.
I think we both had some things that would sort of connect with that a little bit more. I can speak more to it, I guess, the next time we're talking. But I felt like this week, here's the teaser for the podcast that we don't know will happen at any point. But I am curious about other people. And it started with me seeing the image that I shared with you of when you were a guest on Chasing Squirrels back in the day and all the topics around there. And a lot of them are, it was a very digitally enhanced kind of conversation and talking about equity, talking about relationships, talking about teacher lifestyle. And it got me thinking about the then and now, as I'm doing, there it is up on the screen. So that was, the sketch note from the pod. Cool beans. And it got me thinking about, I guess this year, one of the things that has happened to me is that I'm still using many of the digital tools that make my work easier. But this is the year where I'm starting to realize that I'm really starting to see where the digital tools this year officially are not able to make my work better. And I'm sort of looking at that gap analysis between the two. And I think I mentioned last episode before, talking about how I've gone back to the paper-based binder for note-taking and the dividers. And I'm using anchor charts and we have a class plant and we'll probably have more class plants, even a class fish. And we have a space where we can sit and chill. And then we have a space where the art supplies are. So I'm going back to some of my old school tools that are not, they are not digitally enhanced at all. They're not. They're tools. When we talk about, you know, it's not that I'm talking to the kids a lot about the difference between tools and toys, and being able to recognize when we need to use one or the other. But also I'm using a lot this year, it's a lot more hands-on tools for learning that are not a part of the internet of everything. So
one of the guidance counselors this week made fun of me for having a binder, paper and pen. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not going to crack open a laptop and start typing while you talk. I don't have that. I need to flow, right? I need to go, come and go. Not worry about power, not worry about internet, just get it out and write it down.
That's exactly it.
I get it.
I'm liking it.
Season 5, episode 5, special episode today. Thanks for the Yoda of podcasting, Stephen Hurley, for stepping in. We don't know where Ramona is. She must be exhausted from all those turkeys a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Big Eddie didn't mess with us today.
So no.
That's it for this week.
Yeah, hat tip to the Icy Company.
Yeah, awesome. Peace, bro. See ya.
Rum cake.